The last song, God of Our Strength, Enthroned Above, kind of expounded, I'd say, on the verse that I had picked out here to read. Jeremiah 29:11 says, "For I know the thoughts that I think toward you, saith the Lord, thoughts of peace and not of evil, to give you an expected end." That's a verse that maybe is familiar to a lot of you, a verse that we can get a hold of, we can grasp it, knowing that our God cares so much about us, as an expected end for us. And we can't see that expected end. To us sometimes, the picture, the puzzle, looks pretty beat up, pretty broken, pretty muddy. But God sees it from the other side. He sees what it's going to look like when it's done. And it's His thoughts are thoughts of peace and an expected end, something we can anticipate, something that's going to be worth looking forward to. It is worth looking forward to. So my topic tonight is the facing grief, the first realities of grief, I think is the title. And maybe there's nothing new you're going to hear tonight out of me, but hopefully what I have to share can be an inspiration to you, to maybe it's an area in your life that you faced or you're facing or you struggled with, or maybe you know of somebody else that's facing it, and hopefully you can help them through this, through their trying time. So the first point I have is as we think of somebody facing a death, probably a lot of us have been with somebody when they face those first minutes or hours where there's just that raw grief of somebody shedding tears and crying and pain and heartbreak of what has happened. The initial bursts of tears and sorrow. And we probably, when I think of that, I think of King David when the news came to him that Absalom had got caught in the tree by his hair and was dead. He said, "Oh, Absalom, Absalom, my son, Absalom." And you can just picture the heart-wrenching cry of him. And I don't think David, I'm not sure how he felt exactly then, but I know it was sorrow. But in his cry too about his son, I think he was in a sense crying out to God that Absalom is not here anymore, God. He's gone. I need you to help me to face life without my son. And hopefully that's where we can, when we have know of somebody or we face raw grief ourselves, we knew where to turn. And if we didn't, if there's people around us maybe that are, we can help through this time, we can just say a few words of comfort to them. Let them know we're praying for them. Just those simple words. Community neighbor there the other week, we drove by his place and there's an ambulance there, and went home and dropped the children off. And I told my wife, I think we should go back and see what's going on. I didn't know if it was him or his wife. There's an older couple, I'd say, and they're 65 or so. We pulled in there. Well, he came out of the house. He was the one that I knew best. So I was, you know, okay, good. It wasn't him. But thankfully, it was just his grandson that had a seizure. And he texted me the next morning, told me everything was fine. He just got too hot and it gave him a seizure, but he thanked me for stopping by. I don't know if anybody else stopped by or anybody else saw that, but just a small thing like that, you know, be there for your friends or your neighbors. Don't need to say much or do much, just let them know you're praying for them and you care. Probably a lot of what, these may not be in order that people face them, but that's how I have them here tonight, so if they came in a different order for you or somebody else is facing it differently, that's perfectly fine. Nobody faces grief in the same way or the same level. Grief is something that cannot be measured. I can't say I grieved for my son more than you grieve for your deceased family member, any more than I can say I love my wife more than you love your wife, because it's not measurable. Grief is grief. Everybody faces it and they have to go through it. But shock is something that often comes somewhere in the process. You know, maybe it's the initial raw grief, and then your body just kind of you kick into shock. You go through those next couple of days, they just kind of seem like a blur. Your body's working because it has to and because people are praying for you. But you hardly feel much. Maybe you go through the viewing and the funeral and you just don't feel like you really connect with people. You're just kind of numb. Well, that's shock, kind of putting your body in a mode, I think, to face the grief and to slowly, as it sinks deeper and deeper in your mind, it's not all at one time, but it comes back, and it's not an initial, it don't just knock you out. Your body kind of goes numb, and it helps you to process it more slowly. And then there's the first times of doing things. I'm sure you all remember that. First time you went to church, first time to the grocery store, birthdays, Christmases, whatever it is. Those first times are tough. You miss your boy, you miss your family member. I remember going to the local Martin's Appliance there to get a part for something. I forget what it was, but I did not feel like going. I knew I'd walk in there, people would just look at you and go, "Oh, you poor fella." 2 weeks after our son's funeral was my wife's brother's wedding, it just felt a whole lot more comforting to go there, knowing that there were people there to support you and that were with you in this journey, than to go into that appliance store to get a part. So facing first can be very difficult. There again, let people know you're praying for them, and rest assured that people are praying for you as well. Maybe people don't always remember to say something to you, but most likely there's people that remember what you're going through, that remember the anniversaries maybe. Some people do send cards, and that's always a blessing. Even 6 years later, people still remember times of our son's birthday or his passing or whatever it was. And to receive things like that and to know that people still care is very special. It's a blessing to have church family and friends that care for us. Let's be that for others as well. We know they're facing a difficult moment. Let's reach out to them and encourage them. And maybe this goes right along with facing the first, but then it seems like everybody else goes back to normal. You know, they're going back to work, they're going back to school, to church, having birthdays and having birthday parties, and that's okay. That's good. That's how their life should be. God hasn't called them through this journey of grief. And that may hurt sometimes, and that's okay. That's what God has called us to. We have a new normal to settle into, to see schoolboys hopping out of vans. You know your boy could be there. See your son's friend going off to Bible school and getting a car. Those things hurt, but that's a new normal. Life will not be the same anymore. But with God's grace, we can get up and go on, because there's people that care. There's people that think about that. Our friends, family, they've done very well at reaching out to us over those times, because their son feels it as well. It's a challenge for me to know how to reach out to him and help him through this pain, because I've lost a son, but he's lost a very good friend. So let's not leave others that we may think, no, they're not related, but let's have our eyes open. I think we all can know to a greater or lesser degree how those people feel, and let's be on the lookout for them. It's something I want to do better at. Maybe there's denial in somebody's life. Maybe they're facing these hard times, and maybe somebody does want to talk to you about it. Let's be open. Let's share. If that's part of healing, I think. Maybe you don't feel that way, but to talk about it, to share about it. Talk about your loved one. Talk about other people's loved ones to them. You know, some people would come to us and they'd ask us, you know, do you want to talk about Lindrick? You know, is that okay? It's like, well, yeah, we'd like to hear what you remember about him. That's special to us to know that you're thinking about him yet, and you had a memory that could be special to us as well. It's not going to deny one, just clam up and not talk about it, because if we keep those feelings inside, it's going to eat us up from inside out and destroy us. It may then turn into anger, another thing that some people face. Maybe we don't necessarily call it anger, but somewhat resentment or bitterness. You know, why did God call me to this? Why did I have to face this when everybody else's life is normal? Maybe there's a time early on, maybe after the shock wears off a little bit, and we say, why God? Why did this happen? And we feel a little angry at God. And I think there may be a place for that, but we need to then surrender and let it there. Let it in God's hands. Let him tell us why someday in the future, because we're not going to know now. But we cannot dwell on that anger. We cannot let the sun go down upon our wrath. We need to take it to God, ask him why, but then tell him, God, we don't understand, but we're letting it in your hands. You have an expected end for us, and we can rest in peace in that plan. Then there's unexpected moments that come sometimes. You know, we're facing the reality of grief, and maybe it's a song that we're singing Sunday morning at church, and all of a sudden a freeze pops out and just, you can't sing anymore. You get that big lump in your throat and tears want to come. That's okay. Let them come. Maybe you go to town. Somebody says something and it just triggers tears. Let's be careful what we say to other people sometimes. Just one instance that happened to my wife, I think it might have been the first time she went to her local grocery store, and one of the cashier there was checking out my wife, and she said, well, do you know the family that lost their son? Well, what are you to say then? Well, yeah, that was us. Well, then the poor lady pitied her. She didn't know what to say, but it was an unexpected moment that my wife wasn't ready for. Sure, the lady didn't know who we were, but if you don't know somebody, I guess maybe you should ask them. Make sure you know who you're talking to, I guess, especially if it's somebody we don't know as well or something. Let's not say hurtful things or say things that we wish later we wouldn't have. Sometimes it happens, but let's be careful in times like that. Probably one of the biggest things that I feel like I don't know how to do the best is helping others in the family, you know, with the children, with my wife, with other family members. How do you help them go through their journey of grief, their reality of grief? You know, it's real for them. I think the best thing that we can do is to talk about it, to share together, whether it's sharing memories, sharing songs, or whatever it may be. Share those things and help others feel their way through. Maybe they don't feel like talking right away. Give them some time. Don't let it go too long. Help them to talk it out. Crying together is a very important thing I found. You know, there's times when you get to feeling just kind of tight. Maybe something was coming up, a birthday or something, and you just kind of felt like something's building up in there, and then you may sit down and maybe you go to the grave or whatever and see the gravestone and you shed tears again, and it's just something of letting those tears flow together, or even if it's by yourself. It's healing. That's what God designed tears for, crying for. It's an expression of an emotion. And as much as we're not embarrassed to laugh with our friends. I don't think we should all be embarrassed to cry with our friends and help them, help us. Maybe they don't cry with us, but if we can cry with in their presence because we're feeling burdened, it's going to be a blessing to us. It's going to help us to work through that, and if we can help others to overcome that as well. I was talking with a friend of mine one time, and he said that it seemed like for him, over the anniversary, I think it was the summertime that his little son had passed away. He said, just over the time, it always seems like he couldn't figure out what was wrong exactly, but then it dawned on that he thinks he just gets a little bit grouchy, just coming up to that, maybe the week before or whatever. So there's things like that that his family felt it, I think, and that's why he was trying to figure out what's going on with him. So let's help others, and as we face this reality of grief in our lives, back to the thing of I don't have my notes very well planned here. I'm kind of going as I'm thinking. But when the first night there at the pond when our son drowned, we were swimming. Davin and Lindrick and I had gone swimming that night. We could have done something else that night. On the way down, our neighbor called. They needed to go. Their children needed to go to her folks because another baby was coming. I said, well, I was taking the boys swimming, and he did not want me to ditch those plans. He said, you take your boys swimming. And I remember that night, Davin said, where's Lindrick? And I stood on the dock and I called his name loudly twice. No answer. And I remember thinking, God, it's my turn. That's just a thought that went through my mind. It's my turn. The raw grief and the shock that settled in then, sitting there on the pond bank, the first responders started coming, neighbors started coming, and a neighbor man came. He was just basically at the end of the lane, and he had lost a son a number of years before, and I knew him fairly well. He came. He was one of the first ones there, and he came to me, and he laid his hand on my shoulder, and he said, if you think you have it the worst, you probably do. And those words just stuck with me. That was always said. He laid his hand on my shoulder and said those words and kind of walked away soon. But, you know, if we think we have it the worst, we probably do, because we're thinking of ourselves. Self-pity is, like I said, it's something like anger. It gets in there, and it eats us from the inside out, and we do have it worse if we start thinking that way, because it's going to just take us one direction. If we don't acknowledge that God had a plan in this, and we are not, there's always somebody that has something worse than we do, most likely. Other family and friends came that night and laid their hands on my shoulder, said they're praying for me, whatever. It meant a lot. My brother drove 2 hours, came in that night yet. Church family poured in, and just to have them all sitting around like that it was 8:30 about when our son went missing. Took him 4 hours to find his body and bring it up to get it out of the water. So it was a long while sitting there. Nice moon shining, and the clouds were very pretty that night. Not really when a situation you want to sit under the clouds and look at the clouds when something like that is going on, but I remember it was a nice evening to sit out in the yard there. And then, yeah, the next morning, of course, I was a dairy farmer, so I forget who, well, I don't know if anybody even told me, really, but I got up the next morning, of course, and well, I knew I had to go out to the barn, so I went out there, but people were out there doing chores. There again, the community pitched in and helped. Did a great job. I didn't have to even be there, but I just made sure they knew everything, that little bit details that needed done. There again, reaching out. If somebody in the community's needy or facing grief, maybe they don't ask for help, but be there to help them. Just maybe it's just a small thing, but step up to the plate and help. If you know something needs done, don't wait for them to tell you to do it. just quietly go do it maybe, and it will be appreciated. And of course, over the years, many times since then, there's been people that have reached out, said things, supported us in difficult moments. So may this weekend be a time of supporting each other here at Penn Valley. As we reach out to each other, maybe there's some here that are feeling some of the firsts. Maybe they feel like their life is just getting back into a new normal. Maybe they still have many unexpected moments. Maybe they're facing denial or anger. Let's reach out to them. Let's be on the lookout for them. And if there's somebody here that feels that way and you know it, reach out to somebody else and ask for help, because you need it. And there's many people here that would be glad to help you, I'm sure. So my prayer is that this weekend could be a blessing to all of us, and we can cry together, we can laugh together, and we can sing together, and go home from here inspired to serve God in our communities. Let's bow our heads for prayer.